Yeah, we're here to talk about flying and its strategy.
Hi everyone, we're here to bring you the 20th edition of the Roots Aviation Podcast. My name's Wesley Charnock, Head of Content for Roots, and this edition was recorded live on site at Roots Europe 2019 in Hanover.
Hi there, my name's David Casey and I'm the online editor for Roots. Today we've got a podcast with Oliver Lackman, who's the Managing Director of TUI Fly. In a wide-ranging interview, Oliver discusses how the German leisure airline has sufficient capacity in its schedule to cope with ATC-related disruption this summer.
Oliver also provided an in-depth update on the airline's orders for 737 MAX 8 and MAX 10 jets and how it will affect its future plans. Interviewing Oliver live on stage was Jens Flottau, Managing Editor Commercial Aviation at Aviation Week and Space Technology. So we'll hand you over to Jens and Oliver. Hope you enjoy this podcast.
The introduction of the Boeing 737 MAX. Now we all know that that hasn't happened yet for all the reasons we know of. So let's start with MAX. By now, how many aircraft would you have had if everything had gone to plan?
Yeah, we have planned with 39 aircraft operative in the summer 2019. And due to the MAX issue we have right now, we're supposed to fly with 38 aircraft in the summer. We planned with 4 MAX aircraft, and the rest of our aircraft were 737 new generation, and therefore, due to known reason, we decided to lease in extra capacity from third-party providers, and one of our 737-700 will stay in the fleet, which was...
Lease extended, right?
Yeah, it was supposed to be stored until the lease end, because it's not the perfect fit to our fleet. We have a common fleet of 737-800s, which... should be added by 737 MAX 8, which has the same capacity than the new generation 800. So the 700 is not the perfect fit for our fleet, and therefore we decided to store that aircraft until the lease end. But now it's a good opportunity that this aircraft can stay in the fleet, and so we decided to keep that aircraft for the summer season in operations.
How hard is it? I mean, everybody must be looking for wet leased aircraft, wet leased capacity in Europe. People have planned ahead for the difficult summer because of the ATC disruption that everybody's expecting. Now the MAX effect comes on top. Did you find those aircraft easily, and did you have to? I mean, I expect lease rates must have gone up in the recent weeks, right?
Yeah. First of all, it's a question of speed. So. When the grounding happened, we decided very quickly that we will approach our partners, and we have good relationships to third-party providers as TUI, and therefore we approached our partners where we had wet leases already last year, and we took up that decision very fast, and therefore we could save that contract for summer 19. So what we have done right now, we have wet leased in one A321 from just us until the end of the summer season, and we have leased in one 320 from just us as well, presently until the end of May, with an option to extend that lease until the end of the season.
So you're saying that's partners that you've worked with before?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. So yeah. That helped, of course.
That helped a lot. And the second is the speed, so that we took the decision very, very fast to lease in extra capacity. And I think we have been a little bit faster than the other ones, and therefore we could save that capacity.
But still, you're taking a financial hit as a group because of the MAX. I mean, TUI Fly hasn't had any so far, but the group has 15 in its fleet,
correct,
which are on the ground right now. Can you talk about that impact a little bit?
Yeah, that has went public anyway, so we expected that there's a financial burden until end of June of around about maybe 200 million. So it's a question how long this dilemma lasts, and therefore we went public already last week that we explained the situation. It's a one-time off, but nevertheless it's a financial burden, and therefore we have to talk about what will happen. We are in regular meetings with Boeing to discuss what is going on, but we are doing that in a good manner.
Mm-hmm. And the 15, how are the 15 aircraft in the group replaced? Is that wet leases as well?
Yeah, we have other wet leases in the group as well. So the Belgium colleagues approached their partners, the UK airline approached their partners, so we have been saved already our production until end of June.
So I imagine a large part of that 200 million is the extra lease costs that you have to shoulder. Okay. If you look back at, I want to talk about the MAX and MCAS for a moment, if I may. You're a pilot as well. You're a 737 rated pilot right now. You flew A320s, A330s, but you, right. I think at Air Berlin you started flying 737s,
yeah. Right? Yeah, absolutely right.
2001.
One. Yeah.
Okay. So you've got a lot of experience as a pilot. With today's knowledge of MCAS, was the grounding the right decision, and was the system improperly designed?
Well, I think finally there was so much pressure on the regulator that the decision was finally okay. What maybe has been not explained in the right manner was how the system capability is, and when we are looking into the documentation of MCAS, there's a kind of change in the documentation of Boeing, and that is what all people know anyway, which is pretty similar to other manufacturers as well. So we know the digitalization on board of commercial aircraft is going on and further. The NG was a very analog aircraft and has now been digitalized more. And this should have been explained to the pilots maybe better. But I think the system behavior as such was so far okay designed, but the explanation should have been better.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's been a lot of talk about, you know, single sensor or single point of failure. Is that something you would criticize as an operator as well?
No, I wouldn't criticize that, because there's a ratio behind, and we know that for good reason Boeing has decided to use just one sensor, but this is up to Boeing this to explain. They explained to their customers and they explained to the regulators why they have chosen that single sensor logic. Finally, due to the pressure which was built up right now from the regulators, from the public, they decided to use both sensors, and they decided to change the design of the software. That what we have seen obviously cannot happen in the future once more.
So as an operator, the new software version that Boeing is presenting and proposing, does it make sense to you? Are you pleased with it? Are you happy with it? Do you have further change requests?
No, what we have done is we sent two of our pilots last week to Seattle to join a session which Boeing hosts for their customers and for the regulators. And they explained in a very good manner what they have changed, what was the ratio behind, what is the difference between the older software and the new software, and what is the implication to the pilot. And that seems to me very, very logical. So I'm happy with those changes. They have to be certified right now by the FAA and by EASA. We have to explain that to our pilots. We have to explain that to our cabin crew. And as well, we have to explain that to our customers, that we are happy with those changes which have been made by Boeing.
As a European airline, are you concerned that EASA might take longer, much longer than FAA, to review the update, just because it's said it wants to do its own independent review now and not just jump on what FAA does?
What we are seeing is that EASA is very, very close with Boeing together, so we don't expect that it lasts too long for EASA to take up their decision of allowing the MAX to be flying again. But I think EASA as well has to feel comfortable with the certification process. And if they think that they have to do their own certification, obviously there are some reasons behind. And so far that is okay for me that EASA wants to look deeper in the systems. But anyway, what we are seeing is everybody is working very closely together. Boeing is working closely with the FAA. Boeing is working very closely together with EASA. FAA and EASA communicating to each other. So I think finally we will see all three working good together.
Okay. There's been a lot of criticism of communications, how this has been communicated or not communicated to pilots. Some airlines have complained in the past that they didn't know about MCAS at all. They didn't find it in the documentation. What's your view on this? Did you think you were well informed?
I think with regards to the documentation and the capabilities of the aircraft, the documentation was so far okay. I would criticize is that they have changed their manner of documentation and they didn't tote that to the pilots. So as we know, the documentation of Airbus aircraft is pretty similar to that. So we know there's a lot of there are a lot of computers installed in Airbus aircraft as well, and we as pilots don't know what they're doing exactly and how they are working. We know the output or the outcome of what the computer is doing, but we don't know the design of the computer. And that is a kind of similar with MCAS. So we know there is a system installed, which is, and this is something which should have been told to the pilot a little bit better, that's an addition to the speed trim system of the Boeing 737NG, because MCAS is not a stall prevention system like it had been said in the media before. It's a system which simulates control forces for the pilots due to or in several aerodynamical situations, which is pretty different. And this is something which has to be told to the pilots. But the documentation as such is for me so far okay.
Mm. What's your assumption in terms of return to flight? When do you expect to be able to fly again? Or in your case, take delivery of your first aircraft?
Finally, we took the delivery already, because our first aircraft, the Alpha Max, has been delivered on the day of the grounding.
Where is it now?
In Seattle.
In Seattle.
Because we are not allowed to
ferry. So you had to pay, but you can't use it.
That's right.
Great.
Okay. But nevertheless, I think if everything went well, then maybe the Max can fly in July again.
Okay. So 50% chance? Or?
I don't guess.
Did you see a lasting brand damage that airlines and Boeing now have to work against with Max coming up, or will people coming back, or will people forget quickly?
No, I think we have to work on it. First of all, the manufacturer has to work on it. We as an airline have to work on this as well. It's all about confidence and trust. So what we have to do right now is to be very transparent. With our customers, with our pilots as well, to explain what has been done, what happened in the past, which design changes have been made, and why are we now confident that this could never happen again. Mm-hmm. So there is a lot of work to do, but I think this can be done.
Yeah. You ordered the MAX for a good reason. It is a more capable aircraft than the 800. Can you tell us a little bit about how you are planning to use it, what routes, possibly new routes.
Yeah.
It has longer range. So what's the plan?
Yeah, we have been looking at that very deeply. And what we have seen is that the range of this aircraft is optimum for our longer routes in TUI Flight Germany. As you know, we don't fly long-haul routes. We have been looking into that, whether the MAX could be used for longer routes, for example, to the East Coast, maybe, or to the Caribbean. But finally, we decided that's not the right aircraft.
Do you do Caribbean from here?
No. We have been looking into that, whether the aircraft, so the MAX, could be capable to fly there.
With no weight limits?
No. So what we have seen that this aircraft can just be used with stopover, maybe on the Azores, to fly to the Caribbean, and therefore we decided to use that aircraft not for long-range flights. But as we know that the fuel consumption of that aircraft is much lower, around about 16% of the NG, we decided to use that aircraft mainly on our longer mid-haul routes. So especially Cap Verde's, Canaries, and in the winter as well to Dubai and to the Abu Dhabi.
So Abu Dhabi, that's coming back. That's probably 6 hours, 6.5.
Yeah.
Cap Verde's more or less the same.
Yeah.
Canaries
four and a half. Yeah.
Okay. I've seen that you've also considered, you've got a MAX 8 fleet on order, but I've seen that you've also looked at the Dash 10 or looking at Dash 10. Why and where would you use it?
Yeah, mainly on our chunk routes to the Canaries, for example, from larger airports like Frankfurt or Düsseldorf. So we took up the decision to take four MAX 10 aircraft by 2023. So the decision has finally been made.
Okay.
And we think that's a good addition to our present fleet. And that was something which where we were looking very deeply into, because it's a little bit more it's a little bit less flexibility. It's and therefore we had to really look very deep into the business case if it makes sense to use MAX 10 aircraft. But the average seat costs on the MAX 10 are so tremendously lower that the decision was finally very easy to decide on the real chunk routes using MAX 10 aircraft.
How much lower would they be?
We are talking about 15 to 20%.
Okay, and that's compared to the Dash 8?
Dash 8, yeah.
And they would be? Would they come on top of the previous Dash 8 order, or replace?
They will replace other aircraft which has been on order already. Mm-hmm. So finally, we're staying with our present Boeing order, which is from a TUI AG standpoint of view, 72 aircraft with 48 options, and we have the possibility to change within a certain time frame a Dash 8 against the Dash 10 aircraft.
Mm. And I assume other TUI group airlines are looking at that possibility as well?
Absolutely right.
Okay. So enough for MAX right now. but I just knew that there was a lot of interest in that, and I was interested in it too. In my introduction, I remarked that TUI Fly was planned to be sold at some point by TUI Group, because it thought it didn't want to own its own airline here in Germany. That's completely changed over the past few years, and now the direction is kind of the opposite. It's about more integration of the airlines inside the group and of the airlines with the tour operators. Can you explain a little bit where you are in that process?
Yes, sure. Beside the MAX topic, we have two very big projects. First of all, reintegration of TUI Fly into TUI Aviation. Due to the mentioned joint venture, TUI Fly Germany stepped back from its participation in One Aviation, which has now been renamed into TUI Aviation. And we have started that reintegration process already last year, where we have decided to merge in the first instance, or to bring back in the first instance our maintenance, supplier management, and purchasing, and in-flight entertainment sector back into TUI Aviation. And in a second and in a third step, we are now bringing back our flight operations piece and then our ground operations piece back into TUI Aviation. And we are seeing a lot of advantages having done this, because as a group, we have 150 aircraft, and as joint TUI Aviation Group, we are much more sustainable. We have much more pressure, which we can bring on our partners. We our possibilities to negotiate for the group are much bigger. So we are seeing so many synergies in being one large airline group than having segmented airlines in each countries. So we are taking now a lot of efforts to reintegrate the full part of TUI Fly into TUI Aviation. And the second part is the relationship to our tour operator here in Germany. The tour operator is our biggest customer. So our tour operator business, all in all, is 80% of our seats, with 20% seat-only business and 80% tour operator business. And there, the biggest number which we are seeing there is from the German tour operator. So we need to have a close relationship to our tour operator, and there we are working on very, very, very well. Because what we are seeing right now, when we have set up that source market board, which was the first step to bring those entities together, is that we can decide for the tour operator and for the airline very fast, and we always can take the best decisions for both. So we have a close relationship. We are having now a very good working atmosphere between the airline and the tour operator, and this is something which we are having in the other countries since years. So the airline,
the relationship was very close in the UK, for example.
Absolutely, yeah. the relationship between the UK tour operator and the UK airline was very intense. Same situation in Belgium. The tour operator and the airline are working very, very close together. There's a close collaboration between two of them. And that is something which we need to have in Germany as well. And this is something which we are working on very hard now. And we're seeing that will be a story of success.
So who makes the network decisions? Is that a common board between the airline and the operator? Or
it is.
Operator?
It is indeed. So we are, as I have mentioned, we are working very closely together. Finally, the commercial part of TUI flies in TUI Germany. Mm-hmm. So they are selling the most of our seats. But when it comes to productivity and when it comes to commercial flight plans, we have to work together. So the decision can't be made by the tour operator only, because we have to see how we can get the best productivity out of the airline. So therefore, we have meetings on different levels where we decide what is the best decision for the tour operator and the airline. So when, for example, when we have decided to deploy one aircraft into Nuremberg, that was a joint decision from the tour operator and the airline. We were looking into our network, and we have been looking into our crew bases. Could it be possible to deploy on very short notice an aircraft into Nuremberg? And we said yes. From an airline point of view, this is possible. And the tour operator decided very quickly, there are certain commercial opportunities, so let's go. We took up that decision within 2 days.
And that aircraft flies what from Nuremberg? Which routes?
That aircraft is flying original Germania routes. So yeah. When Germania went bankrupt, we decided very, very fast to deploy that aircraft into Nuremberg. We have been looking into the commercial opportunities. On the one hand, where this aircraft was supposed to be deployed into, and then we have seen there are now better commercial opportunities to deploy this aircraft into Nuremberg. And then, as I've mentioned, we decided within 2 days to deploy this aircraft there, and we made it able for bookings already on the third day.
Is your aircraft utilization lower than it would be if you did your own kind of network, completely your own network planning without having to take into account tour operator wishes?
No, I don't think so, because our utilization of aircraft is very high. We have the same issue than other touristic operators as well, so that our peak season is mainly in the summer, and we are not having that much flights in the winter, which is pretty typical, but we have certain mitigation measures for that. So we are leasing out aircraft to Canada, for example. We are doing our heavy maintenance in the winter.
Who in Canada?
Sunwings, which is...
The same like Condor, who works with Air Transat. Right?
Yeah, this is comparable, and Sunwings is a 49% daughter of TUI. So we have there, again, a very close relationship, and there we have possibilities to lease our aircraft from all of the group to Canada, because this is the main season in Canada. So this is a really good opportunity. Nevertheless, our utilization of aircraft is a little bit more than 4,000 hours per year, which is tremendously high. Mm-hmm. So I don't expect that our productivity would have been much higher when we would do our network planning by ourselves.
So the seat-only sales, which is, you say, about close to 20%, yeah. who does that? Is that the tour operator selling the seats for
Correct.
You? Or?
Yeah, okay. The tour operator is selling all seats for us. First of all, their seats in packaged holiday. Then they are doing the contracts with other tour operators, and the seat-only business is done by TUI Germany as well. This is the TUI Fly webpage, for example.
Okay, so sales part is outsourced to the tour operator, and then you're merging, you're integrating operational aspects of the business, you know, maintenance and so on, within TUI Aviation. Is that correct?
Correct.
Are you moving around aircraft between the various TUI airlines, not speaking of Canada, as well?
Yeah, that's something which we're doing as well. So we are looking always into the demand of each airline, and we are looking into the contracts which we are having with our leasing partners, and then we decide where to deploy those aircraft. We decided, for example, to get 3 aircraft in Germany from other TUI airlines this year. We took last year as well several aircraft from other TUI operators. So we are as a group are very flexible swapping aircraft around, and this is always a question of demand.
Yeah, you had let's talk about ATC for a moment. Mm-hmm. That's another near-term challenge that's coming up. As all of us in Europe know, last year was quite a difficult summer for everyone. Everybody's been planning ahead with contingency measures to allow more slack in the schedules. What did you do to be as well prepared as possible?
Yeah, I think we firstly have to divide that in external and in internal factors. So when we are looking into the external factors, and that is something which I've mentioned before already, I don't expect that many changes because, for example, when we are looking into air traffic control, it takes you up to 3 years to train a new air traffic controller. So even when the German ATC Academy is now working with full power, finally, the ATC controllers, which are now being trained, are ready in 3 years. So that will not help us this summer. I don't expect any changes in air traffic control this summer. We will see strikes in the summer as well. And the logistical situation which we are facing at the airports will be the same. So what we can change is our internal factors. So therefore, we have decided to fly with 1.5 spare aircrafts in the summer, which equals around about 5% of our capacity. When we are looking into our fleet of 39 aircraft, therefore, they are flying 7 for Eurowings, 32 flying for TUI. And then when we are looking into 1.5 aircraft, that equals around about 5%. We decided, even if we are facing that MAX issue right now, that we are staying with our decision, because we have taken this decision for certain reasons, and the situation has not been changed. So we would need our spare aircraft in the summer as well. Additionally, we had a quality initiative with our ground service partners. We have more airport supervision than in the past. We were looking very deeply into our commercial flight plans. Is there enough buffer in the flight plan for the summer? There is indeed enough buffer, and when we are looking into our commercial flight plans against other airlines, we are still planning with 50 minutes turnaround times, and we didn't change that. We are not going that much onto the edge of the operating times of the airports. So I see that our homework has been done, but nevertheless, we will face a tough summer.
Are you a little bit less exposed because you've got quite a large number of long sectors to the Canaries, where you fly less sectors per aircraft, and you're probably less prone to, you know, follow-up delays as someone would be who's flying, you know, 6 sectors on domestic routes? Does that help? Do you feel?
Yeah, that helps a little bit, but nevertheless, if you're looking into our touristical sectors, which we are flying, we are facing ATC delays like the other ones as well. So we are not going through that sector 6 times, but anywhere we are going to certain sectors 4 times a day. So especially when it comes to the German ATC sensitive airspaces like Karlsruhe Baden or like Langen airspace, where our main hubs are, or main bases are, So we have to cross these airspaces maybe four times a day, and that will bring us delay anyway. And if we are facing the same situation at the airports, we will be harmed by that as well.
And France is a big issue for you, ATC strikes, I assume, because that's on the way to Spain and the Canaries.
Yeah.
You have to cross that.
Yeah, we have always to cross that sensitive airspaces. Like, as I've mentioned, the German airspaces, what we are seeing is that the capacity, even on those airspaces going to Egypt or to Greece, are getting more tight than in the past. What we are seeing is that the development of the growth will be like in the last years as well. So we are expecting 3.3% growth in aviation this year. And
do we fly in the summer? How much more capacity are you offering?
Yeah, well, so we planned with 39 aircraft, which would have been three aircraft not more. But presently, if the situation don't change, we are planning now with 38 aircraft, mm-hmm. So two aircraft more.
Two aircraft more, and that's roughly, well, we can make the math out.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's 7%. slow growth.
Yeah.
But, I mean, in the medium term, you will have a substantial number of additional aircraft in your own system with when the aircraft that you fly on behalf of Eurowings return, right? So that are you already starting to look at how you will use them, or is that too soon?
That is too soon for us. Presently, we have a contract which lasts until 2021 with Eurowings, and we are starting discussions this year with Eurowings about the continuation of our contract. And thereafter, we can decide whether we can deploy that aircraft in our network, or we would stay with the Eurowings contract.
So they could still stay there.
Everything is open until now. So we are starting our discussions this year, and then let's wait what the outcome will be. I will not say no, and I would not say yes. So my expectation is very open, and we have a very fruitful collaboration with Eurowings. As far as I know, they're fine with us. So it could be that these aircraft will last with Eurowings as well.
And that's how many? That's
seven.
Seven hundreds and
no, 800.
800. All 800.
800. Okay. So the only 700 aircraft which stays in the fleet is that one, which I have just mentioned, which was supposed to be stored. And thereafter, when this aircraft is going back to the lessor, we'll have a common fleet of 737-800 or MAX aircraft with the same size of 189 aircraft, except those which are flying for Eurowings. They have been redesigned for 180 seats, so that this aircraft type is now comparable to the 320 of Eurowings.
Yeah. There's been huge change in the German leisure airline market. Germania just went out of business. Some smaller carriers last year left, a year and a half ago. Air Berlin disappeared. Now there's talk about Condor merging with merging and so there's a lot of with Eurowings, sorry. How does that play out for you? I mean, are you concerned about that, having to face fewer bigger competitors?
No, we are not concerned because of our special relationship and the fully integration into TUI. We are seeing our opportunities as well, and I think this is the reason why the view on the whole system, TUI Fly, TUI Germany, TUI AG, has been changed. Because of that consolidation of the market, it shows how important it is to have a reliable partner in your system, and we are the reliable partner for our tour operator. So therefore, I'm not concerned if the consolidation is going on in Europe. Maybe there are some opportunities for us as well.
I mean, the independent tour operators must be concerned that they have to deal with much fewer airlines, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But our situation is very, very different to that.
Looking back at last year, it seems everybody tried to fill the Air Berlin gap as quickly as possible. Everybody jumped on it. Germania grew by 40% or something. Eurowings, we all know the story. Big problems, massive growth. What are the learnings that you see looking back?
Yeah, well, what we have done is we have brought in extra capacity to TUI Fly as well. So when you're looking at 14 aircraft which were flying to for Air Berlin in the past, thereof just 7 are now flying for Eurowings. So we participated on that as well. So our fleet for TUI Group has been grown by nearly 20%, sourcing in that aircraft for our own commercial flights. I think
not quite voluntary, right?
Not voluntary, but the decision has been made, and we are fine with this decision right now. As I have mentioned, we are looking into the Eurowings part as well, what we will do with that in the future. But when we are looking into the learnings, that you need a sustainable business, and you need a sustainable business model. And that's something which we have here at TUI, because, and that is why it is so important to have that close collaboration within TUI Fly and the German market to have a sustainable business for the future. And that is our takeaway, and that is our learning.
Part of the reason why at some point TUI was looking at selling TUI Fly was high costs, right? I mean, the airline was known as being expensive. The pilots, pilot contracts and so on, labor cost was pretty high in comparison. To what extent are you able to mitigate that by integrating into TUI Aviation? And I think you've just concluded collective bargaining agreements over the last few months and years with key groups. Do you feel comfortable with where you are right now, or is there more work to do on the cost side as well?
I think there's more to do on the cost side, and this is why we are in that close collaboration with the others. So I think we have certain possibilities to cut costs in the future as well. First of all, our biggest cost position is fuel. So the implementation of the MAX aircraft into our fleet is key. When we are talking about 16% less fuel burn on that aircraft, that is a tremendous number. And we are planning to sourcing in 25 of those aircraft until 2023. So this is a large number of fuel which could be saved. Even the financing of the aircraft is presently more positive than it has been in the past. So the decision has been made that TUI will take up more aircraft on their own, and
rather than leasing, less
aircraft will be leased in the future.
Which the ownership cost must be higher than the NGs as well, or are you still benefiting from low?
We're still benefiting from this due to the very positive financial markets for the time being. So these are the biggest cost saving initiatives which we are seeing. But we have a bunch of activities where we're looking into to save costs in the future.
Also, employee productivity. Talking to pilots.
We have just been closed the collective agreements with the pilots, where we have certain rules in where we have more flexibility for the future, which is really a good achievement. We are presently in negotiations with our cabin crews and our ground staff, where we hope to achieve similar productivity measures as well. So we are working on that very hard, and I'm confident that we will go there.
Okay. So you're one of the few airline CEOs who are still flying themselves. I mean, Martin Gauss at Baltic is doing the same. How often do you fly?
Well, I just have been retrained on the 737. As you have mentioned, I flew several other aircraft types in the past, like 320 and 330. So it was a little bit like coming at home when I've been...
You started on a 37, right?
Yeah, I started at Berlin in 2001 on a 737 aircraft. There I flew 737 Classic and 737 NG for nearly 5 years. When I changed the Airbus in 2005. So that's really a great opportunity coming back on the 737. It makes a lot of fun flying this aircraft. I think that I will be in the cockpit for one or two times a month.
Mm-hmm. So 1 or 2 days flying sectors.
Correct. Yeah.
I want to open it up for questions now, if anyone in the audience has one. Now is your time. Otherwise, I'll just over here. Can you just say who you are and who you're with? Microphone's coming.
I work for a company which is based in Abu Dhabi. We do provide handling, and I heard that you are operating to Abu Dhabi, you announced. Is it for a cruise or?
Yeah, correct. This is a cruise ship flight.
And the cruise is also a TUI. A TUI cruise?
No, I don't think so.
No. Okay, it's okay. So it will be operated once per week, as I assume, because
correct.
Pick up, drop off, and
correct.
That's how it works. Okay,
yeah.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Anyone else? I have a few more. Long haul. Is that, I think you said yourself, you've looked at it in relation with the MAX profile. But obviously the group has 787s, quite a few. Are you looking at, would that be an option to pull them into Germany at some point?
For the time being, not. So we've been looking into that as well, whether it could be an opportunity to fly long haul from Germany. We have two pretty large long haul companies on touristic routes in Germany for the time being, and having a smaller third long haul operator for touristic flight in Germany, in my opinion, doesn't make any sense. So for the time being, our decision would be not to deploy any long-range aircraft into Germany. If the situation will change, maybe we have to think about it.
Is that also a learning from the aftermath of the Air Berlin bankruptcy, when Eurowings went into Düsseldorf big time with a lot of capacity long haul, and then discovered very quickly that many of those routes weren't sustainable?
Yeah, and we have a very different situation in TUI Fly. When you're looking into Eurowings, they have the possibility to use the feeder network from Lufthansa.
Yeah.
We as TUI Group don't have a feeder network, so it would be even harder for us to start long-range operations out of certain airports in Germany. So we can think about collaborations with Deutsche Bahn or something like that, but this is not comparable. So that would be even harder for us, and this is a learning and a takeaway from that as well.
Yeah. With some of the Germanias in Germany disappearing, there's been a gap created at smaller airports. You talked about Nuremberg, having deployed an aircraft to Nuremberg. Are there other opportunities away from the big hubs and the big bases that you could exploit in the future?
We've been looking into that as well. After the shutdown of Germania, whether it could be an opportunity to fly out of smaller airports as well. We took the decision to deploy one wet lease into Paderborn in the summer, and we took the decision to fly out of Karlsruhe Baden as well this summer and the winter as well. But besides that, there are no opportunities for TUI Fly flying out of smaller airports. So we were looking into Münster, Osnabrück, and we were looking into Bremen, but this is not really an opportunity for us.
Why? Because of Ryanair being there?
No, it's a question of complexity. So we don't have, we just have small crew bases there, which are not big enough to deploy aircraft into that stations or into that basis. And I think it doesn't make any sense to build up small bases with one aircraft, because the productivity of those bases are always lower than on the big airports. In the summer, you have not enough capacity and you have not enough crew available on those bases. In the winter times, you have always too much crew on those bases available. So we are looking into larger airports like Düsseldorf, like Frankfurt, like Munich, like Stuttgart. There we see a lot of opportunities, but not at the smaller ones.
And Berlin is still a special case, right? Lots of competition, Ryanair, EasyJet, Eurowings is big, so you kind of seem to avoid that a little bit, right?
That's right, and we took the decision not to deploy any aircraft in the summer into Berlin. We have cruise ship flights in the winter from Berlin, and we are planning with that next year as well. But for the summer season, we are leaving that to the EasyJets and Ryanairs and Laudamotions to battle there.
Question, and
thank you.
On to the next one. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed that podcast. Don't forget, we've got lots more on our iTunes channel. Some of the latest ones include Jetstar's Alan McIntyre and Canada Jetlines' Javier Suarez.
We'll be back with our next podcast in 2 weeks, so thanks very much for listening.